Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymeer Church of Christ.
If you'd like to turn to Exodus chapter 20, we're going to begin there in just a moment. Exodus chapter 20. It is good to be with you this evening, and it is a blessing to be part of a church family. And I've thought about that in a number of different ways this week. On last Sunday, we had our Friends Day, and we had a tremendous group, especially a group of guests that you invited, and we're thankful for that. So thankful that you brought people to be part of that day. And we did things a little bit differently, but aimed at maybe meeting some needs and answering some questions that people had. And I really felt inspired because we had, after our lunch, an afternoon service. And it was a little risky because we had a great meal and then we were all sitting down in a nice warm room and the sermon topic was on a Sabbath rest. And I was a little worried about that. But I heard that a lot of people went home and put that sermon into action by taking a nap on Sunday afternoon. So I felt pretty good. You know, you don't normally get that kind of feedback. But we had a great day. And then during the week, there were a lot of things that took place. One of those has already been mentioned in our prayer. We have several who are in the hospital. And Sheila Alderson, one of our secretaries, already had a knee replacement surgery scheduled. And then Roger Riddle had to have heart surgery, and we're so thankful that went well. And I know you've been praying for that. We've all been praying for that, and we're grateful that he's recovering. And, of course, Connie is with him. And so when we think about our two secretaries that usually keep things running, and they do a great job of it, there wouldn't be a lot that gets done around the office if they weren't here to do that. It was really neat this week to see how many people volunteered time to come to the building and to help answer phones and to meet needs and get some of those things accomplished. And Wendell and I were talking about that earlier in the week. It's just an example of a church family coming together and working together. And I even saw an example of that this morning as Wendell wasn't feeling well and able to be here. And Jonathan preached, and so thankful for that. That was right after running a half marathon. And if I'd run a half marathon, I wouldn't be able to stand up the next day, much less preach. And I'm so thankful for him and getting to work with him and just the way in which his ministry blesses our congregation. There are several of us that were able to enjoy a marriage retreat this weekend, and we're thankful for that. Thankful to our elders for that opportunity, and to Austin and Tara Simmons and their leadership in getting that going. And Austin did a great job coordinating the weekend. Barry England was the speaker, and about 30 individuals enjoyed that. And so I just love how many different ways we see church family working together. And that'll really come into play as we think about the way families work together, specifically in our focus tonight. We turn to Exodus chapter 20. I hope you'll pick up with me right here in the middle of the Ten Commandments. If not, you can turn there and just know that we've been working through a series looking at the Ten Commandments, probably one of the most famous lists, maybe of all time, but especially one of the most famous lists in Scripture. And yet we see, as each area is pinpointed, that each one of these commandments that's given under this law of Moses still has an impact on our life today. There's a principle there that's very powerful and ties in to where we live. There's a story that's told about Douglas MacArthur II, who served as the American ambassador to Japan. He served during a time when that position would have been very stressful, and there would have been a lot he had to do and to take care of. And he worked for the counselor of the State Department, John Foster Dulles. And MacArthur was a hard worker, and he was at the office a lot. And the story is told that there was a time when Dulles was trying to get a hold of MacArthur, who worked for him, and he called MacArthur's house. And this is obviously a time before cell phones, so he called the house. There's no caller ID. And MacArthur's wife answers the phone, and she assumes this is one of his aides that works for him. And so she thinks this is one of the people that reports to MacArthur, not his boss. And he asks where he is, and his wife said this. She said, "MacArthur is where MacArthur always is, weekdays, Saturdays, Sundays, and nights, in that office," and hung up the phone. Dulles then called MacArthur into his office, and his words were, "Go home at once. Your home front is crumbling." That was the phrase he used. Now, it's not just that he was an older man giving wise advice to a younger person that worked for him. It was that he was saying there are some issues, not just on the front we're dealing with, but issues on the home front. As we work through the Ten Commandments, this is one that really deals with issues on the home front. And we know that those issues are important. In fact, when we think about the command to honor your parents, as we see here in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, that really reminds us of what we see in our culture around us is really a lack of honor in many respects. I'll read verse 12 for us as we get started thinking about this. "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you." And so he begins by reminding him that one of the ways in which they can show honor to God is by showing honor to the parents. Now, I know any time we talk about the family, we're reminded of a few things. We're reminded of the challenges in the culture around us, the devastating effect of what can happen when we have challenges on the home front and challenges in our relationships. And I want you to know that as we go through this, I realize none of us exist in a vacuum and none of our families exist in a vacuum. We have challenges. We're dealing with difficult situations and none of our families are perfect. None of us are. Now, you might have individuals in mind, and it seems like every time you see that person or that family, they've got everything all together, and they must really not have any problems. I can tell you that all of us have problems. We might be able to hide it better some days than others, but we're all dealing with issues. I would challenge us to look through the book of Genesis and find a family you would describe as a perfect, functional family. They had issues all the way at the beginning. Abraham and Sarah had issues. Adam and Eve had issues. We see that as a common theme. And so whenever we talk about these sorts of subjects, I want to make it very clear that we're looking at God's guidance for real life. And I know that we have so many people in this room that you have such a variety of experiences. And you might be thinking, well, this is just some ideal that we look at. These are real principles. And I want to encourage us not to be discouraged by the fact that we have issues, because all of us do, but to be encouraged by the fact that God's Word can give us some guidance. And so as we think about that, I want to remind us of this word honor that we talked about last week when we thought about honoring the Sabbath day. And we were reminded of just how few and far between examples are of real honor in our culture today, of people really honoring someone else. When is the last time you flipped through on a TV station and found an example of children that were really honoring and respecting parents? When's the last sitcom that featured a child who at the end of the episode goes back to the parent and thanks the parent for all that they do to support them, and "you were right all along"? And that may have happened in previous generations of TV shows. But unless we're watching a rerun of something like the Andy Griffith Show, we're not going to get a lot of examples of that. What we'll get is an appeal to the youth of our culture. Advertisers and writers and people who produce entertainment, they're wanting to appeal to young people. And specifically, the disposable income that young people have. Disposable money given by their parents who are getting income that give to them. And so if you'll notice, a lot of what we see in TV and movies glorify a child or children, and they know more than the adults. And the adults are sort of clueless and kind of don't know what's going on. And that's just something that's really common. We sort of see that. Our culture seems to be really focused on youth, and yet these words are a reminder to us. Just like honoring the Sabbath doesn't seem to go with what our culture is really focused on, honoring our parents doesn't seem to go that way either. And yet it's so important. And so tonight we're going to look at just a couple of these principles as we think about honoring our parents and showing honor to whom honor is due. It's definitely a biblical principle. And it applies specifically when we think of this commandment. I neglected to mention earlier just how thankful I am for Brother Solomon that's here. I know it was a blessing this morning to be in that class and hear about what was taking place in India. And I know he's leaving tomorrow to go to Toronto and do some more ministry before going back to India. And so I know we want to be prayerful and mindful of him as well. As we think about honoring our parents, I'd just like for us to focus on two different sides of this coin. First, we have this idea, a responsibility that children honor their parents. And to put this in perspective, I just want to remind us of something. That the Ten Commandments, when they were given, the Law of Moses, when it was given to adults. Just let that sink in for a minute. It was given to adults. Now, when we're going through the Ten Commandments, and we think about commandments like not having idolatry in your midst and not committing adultery and not stealing or coveting, that sort of makes sense to us that that would be given to adults. Those are things adults were told to do or not to do. There were things that were told either they should do this or you should avoid this. But when it comes to honoring your parents, we often associate this with children at home. But keep in mind, this was to adults. These were adults receiving this. Now, that might sound a little strange for us, but if we put ourselves in the place of ancient Israelites, it starts to make more sense. Because in Israel, you would have had, as they traveled, families traveling together, extended families that were living together, that were setting up camp together. So you'd have multiple generations that all lived in the same place. Now, that's different than our culture today in the West and our culture today in America. As an adult, I have never lived full-time in the same place where my parents live. I've never been all that far away, but I've never lived in that same place. Now, many of you live in the same place that your parents raised you or that your family has always lived, but many of us come from different places. And it's not unusual for us to do that. It's not unusual for someone to grow up and to get married and start a family and move somewhere else. But when we're thinking about the Israelites, their families were together. And so this commandment of honoring father and mother was given to adults, likely adults who had their parents with them, living with them. Maybe even their grandparents living with them as well. Now doesn't that sort of give us a different perspective? It's a reminder that the command to honor our parents doesn't have an expiration date. Now there are times that we'll grow up in a home and we'll get to a point where we become an adult and we'll move out. And just like we see the pattern in the beginning of Genesis, when you have a man leaving his father and mother and clinging to his wife and they become a new family, that's a biblical concept. It's biblical to grow up and to start your own family and to no longer be under the rule or authority of parents. You've started your own family now. But the idea of honoring our parents doesn't have that expiration date. So it might look different, honoring your parents, because you might grow up and start a family and make decisions differently than your parents would have made them. And you choose to do that because you have that free will, you have that choice. They no longer, you know, tell you what to do and give you instructions. They might want to, but they don't. You know, they restrain themselves from doing that. And yet that honor is still there. And if you'll notice, not only here, but also in Deuteronomy, right before the Israelites enter this promised land, and Moses repeats these Ten Commandments, both of these commandments say there's something included in this principle of honoring father and mother. Notice what Deuteronomy 5:16 says. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. There's this idea that your days may be long and it may go well with you in the land you're being given. Now, why would that be connected with honoring your parents? What's the connection there? What's the story? Why would God tell Moses, if you really want things to go well in the land you're going into, and if you really want your days to be long, you'll honor your parents? It's a reminder to us that for the Israelites, God is saying, honoring your parents is part of keeping your covenant with me. And if you want things to go well in the promised land, you'll keep your covenant. If you want to keep your covenant, you'll honor your parents. I think that's very important for us to realize that God is saying part of honoring Him is honoring parents. And we understand that we make our own decisions, and it may be that if you're wanting to do something that's of service to God and your parents don't want to do that, you want to be living in a way that's kind to them and that honors them, but ultimately you're serving God. I understand that. But God is saying if you live in an honorable way with your parents, that indicates you're keeping your covenant with Me. Now, here's what's interesting about that. We mentioned last week when we talked about the Sabbath day that when Jesus comes on the scene in the New Testament, even though we're in the New Testament, when Jesus is living, they're still living under the law of Moses. They're still living with these principles that we're reading about, very important in their life. And one of the things the Pharisees were concerned about was the Sabbath day. And they were trying to find people who might have taken too many steps on the Sabbath day or doing something that qualified as work. But notice what happens in Matthew chapter 15. The Pharisees and scribes come to Jesus and they're upset. They have these ceremonial washings that they do, and Jesus' apostles are not doing those same washings before meals. And so they say, I'll start in verse 1. The Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." And notice Jesus' answer. He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'Whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God." So they come to Jesus with a complaint. They say, "We've got a tradition. It's been handed down from our elders. There are certain kinds of washings that take place before meals, and your disciples are not doing them." Jesus says, "Well, let me point something out to you. You have a tradition that's come up, the idea of, as we see in Scripture, calling something korban, or dedicated to God, that you could take possessions and you could say, 'This is now dedicated to God.' And what happened is, people would apparently do that, say, 'I'm going to dedicate these possessions to the service of God,' and that kept them from having to give those things to their parents and to support their parents and take care of their family. In other words, Jesus is saying, you've got a tradition that's gotten in the way of service to God." Now just think about that for a moment. They were very concerned with the Sabbath day. They were very sure about wanting to keep the Sabbath day right, but they had sort of invented a loophole that let them out of having to keep the next commandment on the list. The next one of the Ten Commandments, honoring your father and mother. They'd figured out a way around that. And Jesus is reminding them that honoring our parents shows honor to God. And so I think this is a principle we see not just in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. Notice what Paul would say to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5. In verse 4, he would say, "If a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God." It's pleasing in God's sight when people make some return for their parents, when they care for family. Again, it pleases God. Now, I want to remind us, none of us live in a vacuum. None of our families are in a vacuum. And I don't know what all the issues might be between family members and maybe even between you and your parents. I understand the challenges here. I just want to point us to what the text says, which is we make our decisions. When we're leading our families, we make the choice of if we're going to serve God and if our family is going to serve God when they're under our influence. And it may be that you might have parents that don't want that, but there's still a way to honor them and to show them honor and to live honorably towards them. I also think about this when I think about the challenge of caring for parents who are ill. And many of you have faced that, either parents or grandparents, and dealt with difficult and challenging situations. And by the way, it's difficult and challenging for the person who's being cared for. Because all of a sudden, there's freedom that doesn't exist, and you can't do the things that you were once able to do. There are challenges both ways here. And it's difficult. And sometimes you have to make smaller adjustments, checking on people regularly. Sometimes they end up being large-scale adjustments. Sometimes there are medical needs that require 24-hour care by medical professionals. And we're blessed with facilities that can do that. That's one kind of stress that happens as children are seeking to take care of parents and wanting to make sure that everything's okay. And there are so many variations of that challenge that you want to be there for them. And because of that, it requires time and energy and effort. And you may be here in the middle of that right now. That may be your life right now. And I want you to know something. Scripture tells us, God tells us, that when we do that, we're honoring God. When you spend time taking care of your parents or any family member, but taking care of parents and grandparents, when you do that, you are glorifying God. You are honoring God. There are times I know I've talked with individuals who, in taking the time and effort to care for parents, have not been able to be as involved as they'd like to in ministry, in the church, and there's things that go on, and they can't be a part of those because they're spending their time and energy elsewhere. And if someone were to say to me, well, I just don't have as much time to be involved in ministry because I'm doing this, I would just say, you're doing ministry. You are doing service. You are serving God by fulfilling that role. God is pleased with that. And I want us to know that because that's such an important and a beautiful picture of the way a family works together. And I know there are challenges that go with that. I know there are struggles. And yet as we struggle through that, we're glorifying God when we fill that role. This commandment also certainly applies to children who are still at home. And there's a connection that we often see here between passages in Colossians 3 and verse 20, where Paul reminds us to children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. It pleases the Lord when you have children that honor their parents, and it pleases the Lord when you have children obeying parents. Again, children that are under their influence in their household. Look at the way Proverbs 6 says it, beginning in verse 20. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. Now, there's a lot of discussion in Proverbs about wisdom and about wisdom coming from God, and it does. But I also think it's interesting that in Proverbs, it's often connected with a parent, a father talking to his child saying, don't forget what I'm telling you. And many of us can relate to what happens when we go off to college or the workforce for the first time. You know, we're the ones that are taking classes. We're the ones who are learning new things. But it seems like our parents just keep getting smarter and smarter. And we start saying, that really made a lot of sense. You know, I gave him a hard time for telling me that, but this really seems to make a lot of sense. I understand this now. We begin to see the wisdom that parents give to their children. And so this idea of obedience is so important. And so we want to honor our parents. Proverbs 13 would say that a wise son is one who hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. It's pretty clear in the wisdom literature that if you want to be someone who lives a foolish life, the way to do that is to not let anyone correct you. So if you don't let anyone correct you, if you never listen to any rebuke, that's a pretty clear way to live a life that the Proverbs writer would describe as foolish. A life that won't profit very much. And so we're reminded of that. We're reminded of the way that the family was God's original design to spread His Word. That the design was for parents teaching children. And when we honor our parents, we glorify God. It's interesting to see the way Leviticus puts it in Leviticus 19 and verse 3. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. Why is that? He'll say right in the next passage, right after that, you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Why did they keep the Sabbath in the Old Testament? Because he was the Lord their God. Why did they honor their parents? Because of who God is. That's the way God designed it. And Jesus does that. Jesus honors his parents. Early in Jesus' life, when they find out he's not with them, when they're coming back from Jerusalem, and they go back to try to find him, and he says, didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? He then comes with his parents and submits to them. The first miracle that we have in John chapter 2, Jesus turns water to wine because Mary asked him to. Even on the cross, he's making sure that his earthly mother is taken care of, that Mary is taken care of by John. So we understand this idea of honoring our parents. And the last challenge, I think, kind of the flip side of this coin that we see in Scripture, is to live honorably for your children. In other words, there's responsibility for parents too. And that is to live honorably. Live lives that are easy to honor. Live lives of honor for your children, not just so that they can honor you, but so they can see and emulate that kind of life. We talked about this a little bit a few months ago as we worked through Ephesians. And you may remember that when you get to Ephesians chapter 5 and 6, there's a section that's described as a household code. It was very common in ancient writing. And the idea was, this is the way you act at home. This is the way different individuals act. In the Roman Empire, it was seen that the home was supposed to be kind of a microcosm of the kingdom. So if the kingdom ran a certain way, the home should run this way. And so Paul tells them in Ephesians and in Colossians, here's how the home should run. If we're part of the kingdom of God, there's a specific way that the home should be run. We'll all be different with our own different personalities, but there's a plan for each of our homes. And so we read in places like Colossians 3 that it's important for children to obey parents. But then in verse 21, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Do not provoke your children. I don't know if you've read any recent literature on what parents should do. Maybe some parenting books. There's some good resources out there. I want to read to you a writing that tells us a first century thought on fatherhood. This is in a writing called Ecclesiasticus 30. And this is what this writing in the first century, if you were a family in the first century and you were a father, here would be some advice about how fathers should relate to their children. A father should not pamper his son, play with him, or share in his laughter. Sounds like a lot of fun for dad in the first century, right? You know, don't play with him, don't even share in his laughter. I mean, that was sort of the mindset that was going on. It was a little different than what we see today. And yet what Paul is telling them then and what Scripture tells us now is that we don't provoke children, that we don't become so unbearably harsh toward them, that we don't come down so heavily and so hard on them that we discourage them, that we're not unreasonable. We know the impact that parents have on children, especially their perception of God. And so we realize the importance of that. And so it means if we want to live honorably, that we don't want to provoke, we don't want to cause them to be burdened, and yet we also balance that with the importance of training. And so I don't want to parent in such a way that I'm bearing down and I'm so heavy-handed and unreasonable that I'm discouraging them, but I want to make sure that I'm training. And so, again, we turn to the Proverbs, Proverbs 22 and verse 6, probably one we've thought of before. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now you realize, as with the Proverbs, this is a general principle. This is not saying that the only way that someone would live faithfully is if parents parent perfectly. And if you don't parent perfectly, then the child's not going to be faithful. It's not saying you can look at someone who's grown up into an adult and is making a decision to be unfaithful and say, well, that's obviously the parents' fault. Well, there might be times when parenting has something to do with it. But there are also times when parents train up a child in the way he should go and that child, he or she, decides not to go that way. This is a general principle. If it were some kind of universal standard, that would mean none of us have our own free will, right? That would mean that none of us would get to a point as an adult where we could choose what we wanted to do. But we all understand we have the ability to make a choice. And so I have parents that loved me and that cared for me, but it's still my choice to either be faithful or not faithful. And you've probably known individuals that have been wonderful parents to children, maybe even had multiple children in the same household, and some were incredibly faithful and some weren't. Well, how did that happen? It happened because we all have our own free will. And so we understand this is not an ironclad rule that things always work out this way. And I've seen more parents go on guilt trips wondering what should have been done differently, thinking that the decision an adult makes is directly related to their choice. Now, sure, we're always going to think, boy, I should have done this or I should have done that. But we also need to realize we all make our own decisions. But what the Proverbs writer reminds us of is that training as a child is so important. We're setting a path. We're aiming an arrow at a target. We're giving them a way to go. And the general rule of thumb is we go back to the way we were raised when we think about making decisions. It might not always work out the way we think it should. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer to get back to that way than others. But generally speaking, we're reminded that if we train in the way we should go, that foundation is going to be very important. In fact, research has even shown this. John Bartowski, a Mississippi State sociologist, he questioned parents and teachers of more than 16,000 children and asked them to rate the children who are about age 6 on areas like self-control, poor behavior, and ability to respect and work with peers. So these are thousands of 6-year-olds, and you're talking about self-control and poor behavior and ability to respect and work with peers. And what he found was the children of parents who regularly attended church services and talked with their children about religion were rated higher in each category than by everyone, all of the ones who were rating them and those who didn't. Children who had parents who both attended church regularly were rated as having the best behavior and being the most well-adjusted. Now, that doesn't mean that the sum total of our faithfulness is only coming to worship and Bible class and that's it. We know there's more important than that and things are taught at home. But isn't it interesting that being a part of a church body and coming together to worship and Bible class has an impact? A few years ago, Ken DeCreasy Dean wrote the book Almost Christian, looking at this incredibly large-scale study, the National Study of Youth and Religion, you see abbreviated here. And I shared this quote in the Bible class about a year ago, and it's one that sticks with me. It said, interestingly, in the NSYR's longitudinal interviews, parent religiosity during the teenage years was an even stronger predictor of young people's faith in emerging adulthood. Research is nearly unanimous on this point. Parents matter most in shaping the religious lives of their children. Now, if you want a challenging statement for a parent, I think this is it. Now, we've seen it in Scripture already. We've seen the responsibility that we have. It shouldn't surprise us that this is important, but this is important. And so if we're wanting to think about how we guide children, that foundation is going to be vital. We honor our parents, but we live honorably towards our children. So what does this tell us? What do both sides of this coin remind us of? It reminds us that the way we live in our families, the way we live during the week, is an indication of our covenant with God. Just like for the Israelites, the way they took care of their parents, the way they honored their parents, showed whether or not they were honoring God. The way we honor our parents, the way we seek to live honorably for our children, that shows if we're truly wanting to serve God and keep His covenant. None of us are going to be perfect. None of us are going to be able to do this flawlessly. We're all going to have challenges. And you might have had some of those challenges running through your head as we read these scriptures. And you may even be saying, well, you know, my situation is a little different and challenging. I understand that. But Scripture reminds us that if we seek both sides of this concept of honor in our families, we'll be showing God that we serve Him. Here's a challenge for this week. Is there a way that you can show your parents honor just this week? Maybe writing a note. Maybe just telling them how much you appreciate them. It may be that your parents are no longer living and you might not be able to do that specifically, but what if you wrote a letter to them that just you could read and just reminded yourself of the ways that they blessed your life? I'd like to challenge all of us to think about doing that this week, to increase the honor in our homes and in our lives. Family is important, and the family of God is the greatest blessing that we could ever ask for. If you need to become part of the family of God, if you need to become a child of God to put Christ on in baptism, you can do that today. If you have already done that, and you need to come back to the family, and you need the encouragement of the family, that's available for you as well. If there's any way we can help you, please come forward as we stand and as we all worship in song.